So we have been looking at this passage of scripture for some time. St. Luke chapter 4, verse 16 to verse 21. And we call it the job description of our Lord Jesus. This is the first leg of his earthly ministry. Isaiah prophesied long time ago about what Jesus read in the temple. And Jesus, on that particular day, when he stood up to read, and as you heard tonight, he declared that this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Something that was written long time ago by Isaiah. Prophesied long time ago by Isaiah. Jesus came and fulfilled that particular prophecy. And so in that prophecy, as he stood up to read, the section says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And we look at it and we saw six separate areas of ministry. And we have been through three of them already. Tonight we would like to look at two more. And then we will see the last one, which is verse 19, for the next Bible studies. And I trust that you have learned something from it as much as I do. And we will continue to look on it tonight. But, brethren, let us take a look on who God has targeted. Let us take a look and to see who God has targeted in this particular passage of scripture. When we look on verse 18, we find that God has targeted the poor. He has targeted the brokenhearted, the captive, the blind, them that are bruised. Think about that for a second. This is, these are the set of people that God has in his picture. Jesus is saying, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me. He has anointed me to address the concern of these people here. The poor, the brokenhearted, the captive, the blind, and the bruised. These are the people that are on God's mind. These are the people that are on God's heart. We have not seen here where the Lord has made mention of the rich and the famous, the kings and the queen. We have not seen anything like that. Although, if they have fallen into any one of these categories, they would be in the focus of Almighty God. But God has purpose to come to the attention of these whom we have seen live before us. The poor, the brokenhearted, the captive, the blind, and the bruised, them that are bruised. You know, this reminds me of something that the Lord said in Luke chapter 14. The Lord was explaining to his followers about a man who made a feast and invited many to come. But when everything was prepared and ready, he sent out to them and to tell them that all things are now ready. They should come. And each one of them, the word tells us, start to make excuses as to why they could not attend the feast. Then what is interesting here is verse 21. That is St. Luke chapter 14, verse 21. What is interesting here? Look. Verse 21. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Jesus speaking here, talking about the parable. Then the master of the house, being angry, that is after he heard the different excuses why others could not come, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in either, wait for it, the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. That is what the Lord, the master of the house, in this case representing the Lord, said to the servant, go out into the street and bring in the unfortunates to my house. So when we look and see here, Jesus about to start his ministry, and God has targeted those who are unfortunate, so to speak, the poor, the brokenhearted, the captive, the blind, and those that are bruised. We realize that we serve a God that is a compassionate God. We serve a God that is a loving God. We serve a God that cares for those of us who are not considered the noble. But God sees us tonight in this service. And God is showing respect to us. God is showing honor to us. God is showing mercy to us. God is showing love to us. We who did not deserve it, God is identifying himself with us tonight. Hallelujah. When I go back and look on this and see the people that are lined up here, that Jesus said, I am come to minister unto, I said, Lord, I thank you. I thank you that I am one of them. I thank you that I am in this group that you have targeted. We bless the Lord. We bless the Lord for loving us in the way in which he did. So tonight we're going to look on these two eras of ministry. And they are not too far from each other in terms of how Jesus administered ministered unto them. And so we're going to try to look on it. The first one era that we're going to look on is a two-pronged ministry. It's a two-pronged ministry. The section that says, and the recovering of sight to the blind. That is to be found in St. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The recovering of sight to the blind. There are two aspects to this ministry that we're going to try to look on tonight. One is physical and the other one is spiritual. The recovering of sight to the blind. When you look in the Old Testament and the New Testament, when you see where God's servants perform many miracles, we look on Isaiah, we look on Elijah, we look on Elisha, we look on other servants. Coming to the New Testament, there are many of them as well. We see where there are many miracles performed by God's servants. But apart from Ananias, I don't see where between the Old Testament and the New Testament, none of God's servants were able, and I probably should not use the word able, because none of those miracles which they performed were done by their own ability. Everything was done by the power and spirit of the Lord. But I have not seen where any one of them performed the miracle of open the blind man's eye. I have not seen the restoring of sight to the blind from none of these servants. And I can't tell you tonight why it did not happen. I know that Ananias, the Lord sent him to Paul when he was when he had that encounter with the Lord on Damascus Road. But outside of him, I can't see anybody else from the Old Testament to the New Testament who have performed the miracle of restoring somebody's sight. But when it comes to Jesus, we are looking at least seven such miracles which was done by him. At least seven. It could have been eight. Miracles in which he restored sight to the blind. And I want to tell you that this is a very important area of man's life from day to day. When you are blind physically, it is a hard thing. I had a family member who was blind. I lived with him for many years. Many, many, many years. He was able to help himself in many ways too, because the Lord blessed him with a skill and he lived off his skill. But to watch them and to see the things that he could not do for himself, such as he could not cook for himself, and many other such things. You intend to have a feeling of total sympathy for him. Well alert, sharp in his mind, as a skill that he received from the Lord that he lives off, was able to go just about anywhere without anybody leading him, yet he was restricted in so many different ways. And until the day that he died, he was blind. And the Lord, as we said here, at least 7 such persons' sight he restored. Let's look on St. John chapter 9. A portion of St. John chapter 9 to us. Remember what Jesus said. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Also, the restoring of the sight to the blind. Listen to what John chapter 9 says to us. I'll read a portion of it. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Notice what is happening here. It was Jesus who saw him. It was Jesus. It is not in the case of Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was coming and made a shout. And Jesus stopped and said, bring him to me. That was not the case. It is Jesus now who identified him. Just like what we were saying earlier. He came and he identified himself with the poor, with the brokenhearted, with the captive, with the blind, with the bruised. Jesus saw him. When Jesus saw him, his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents that he was born blind? And I think the answer that Jesus gave is a rather interesting one. And we're going to say a few things on it. Jesus answered, neither at this man's sin, nor his parents, but that the work of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And Jesus went on in verse 5 to say, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Very important statements these that the Lord made. But to answer the disciples' question, when they ask, who sinned? Who did sin that caused this man to be born blind? Jesus said, neither at this man's sin, nor his parents, but that the work of God should be made manifest in him. Sometime the thought might come to us and we might say, why did that happen? Why did anything that we see happen? And then we are quick to put a reason and a purpose to it, why it did happen. And sometimes, brothers, sometimes, sisters, we can be wrong. We can be so wrong. I'm saying to the church tonight, let us try not to judge. Let us try not to judge. But instead, let us see if we can find answers to any situations that we face through the scriptures, through the lenses of God. Because sometimes we can be so wrong. In the disciples' mind, somebody caused this man to born blind. Somebody caused this man not to be able to see. And they narrow it down to two sets of people. One, they narrow it down to the parents. It must be the parents. And they even went further by saying, if it is not the parents, then it must be the man, the one that is blind. But somebody caused this to happen. That is in the mind of the disciples. But what an answer Jesus gave. What an answer that we receive from the Master. In verse 3, Jesus answered, neither at this man sin, nor his parents. Neither him, nor his parents sin. That caused him to be born blind. But that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Jesus came into a world that was filled with all sort of trouble. All sort of trouble. And the right is trouble, and the left is trouble, at the center is trouble. It was a troubled world that Jesus came into. And as he came into this troubled world, he came in with the responsibility of solving problems in homes, solving problems on the street, solving problems in the heart, solving problems all over. He came to solve problems. That's why we have the six hearers of ministry that we are looking on. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive, to the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. You're talking about trouble. Trouble. On every side, Jesus came into that he might solve them. Hallelujah. And as Jesus plain to the disciples that this man did not cause himself to be born blind, neither his parents. But the power of God would be seen through him. The power of God would be made manifest through him. And remember now, it is he who called the man. It is he who saw the man. Not the man seeing Jesus or recognizing Jesus, but Jesus did recognize him and call him. Now when you look on Luke chapter 14, is it 14? Luke chapter 13. How Jesus deal with this situation here? Luke chapter 13. I'm going to read a few verses, maybe down to verse 5. There were present at the season some that told him of the Galilean, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answered and said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans because they suffer such things? Verse 3, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And he went on for the next two verses to say something else. Are those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them? Think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwell in Jerusalem? I tell you no. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now this is interesting. Somebody rushed to Jesus with a hot news and said, look, a lot of people died in the temple. There was a fight in the temple. Pilate soldiers mingled with those who were sacrificing, and people died right there, and their blood mingled with the sacrifice. This is a big news. And Jesus simply said, you think that those Galileans were more sinful than anybody else? Why that happened to them? You, unless you repent, the person that was talking to Jesus, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And then Jesus knew of another situation. Jesus knew of another situation, and Jesus brought it up to point out something to him. And said, the Tower of Babel fell on a group and killed so many of them. You think there were more sinners than anybody else? Jesus said, look, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. We have to be careful here how we address these things. We have to be careful because we, from time to time, might say the reason why that person, that thing happened to that person is because of their sin, because of what they did. It must have been something that that person did that caused that to happen. Jesus is setting the record straight here by saying, it is not because the parents sin, or it is not because This man sin, but that God be glorified through him. Every day we seem to see new things in the scripture. Every day we seem to embrace new truth. And I believe it is important for us as believers that we be careful as to how we judge. And Jesus said, it is not because the spirits are in, but because God will be glorified through him. And I like this. I really do. I really do. Because the word tells us, for this reason, Jesus came. That he might recover the sight of the blind. And in so doing, brothers and sisters, Jesus is being glorified. The Father is being glorified in this one act. And listen to how it went. Listen to how it went. Let's get back there. St. John chapter 9. And when he had thus spoken, verse 6, he spat on the ground and made clay of the speaker and anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. And the neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, it's like him. But he said, I am he. Bless the Lord. So we see the power of Jesus being demonstrated here in the life of somebody. Why? Because the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to do this. And saints, that power that Jesus expressed here, because of the anointing of the blessed Holy Spirit, that power has not been taken away from the church. That power is still in the church to be used by you, to be used by me. Sometimes we ask ourselves, why is it that it is not being made manifest to me? God has not taken away the power. Why we are not seeing the manifestation of this today? And especially in a day like this, when we see so much needs around us, where the power of God needs to be expressed, we are not seeing it in the church. It means that we are falling short before Almighty God. And repentance does not necessarily have to come from the top. Repentance needs to come right through the entire church body so as to reclaim this power, so as to reclaim this authority, that every form of sickness and diseases should be subject to the children of God. Because the power has come, the power has been given, and it should be manifested in the church. Jesus didn't do things the same way all the time. In the case of Bartimaeus, right here and then, Bartimaeus received his sight. But in this case, Jesus sent this blind man to Siloam to get his healing done. Jesus could have healed him right there. He didn't have to move. But he went and he washed, and the word said he came back seeing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Jesus, and the word tells us here that the man was not born blind. The man was not, is not because of his sin why he had been born blind or his parents, but that God be glorified. And brothers and sisters, God was glorified here. Let me pause here for a second to find out if there is any thought that somebody would like to share here.
If you say anything, if you didn't have a problem, we wouldn't know you could solve it.
Okay. That's right. That's right. He came into a world that was filled with trouble, problem all over. And we have seen here from this verse 18 what and what God has sent him to do. And I could not get over it. The type of people that God sent him to. That means God is looking on all of us. And God is showing his interest and commitment to us in our different setting.
And Pastor, God, the word said God delights in things most impossible. So it is his delight to deal with the impossible.
Sure. Sure. And I made a point earlier where apart from the servant that the Lord sent to minister unto Paul, there is nobody else in the scripture apart from the Lord who had actually opened the eyes of a blind man. And it altogether is about 7 or 8 such times that this happened. And each of them are different. The applications are different. Just to show the depth of ability that that is vested in Jesus.
Amen.
But this physical healing, this physical healing of this man, out of Jesus' own mouth, lead us into another area of blindness. Listen to what Jesus said here in verse 35 of St. John chapter 9. I mean, the entire passage. Worthwhile reading. When you get a chance, please read it. But listen to what Jesus said from verse 35 to the end. As he introduced to us not only the era of physical blindness, but he is going to introduce spiritual blindness too. Listen to what Jesus said here. Verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. That means the blind man he had just healed. They had cast him out of the synagogue. Because Jesus healed him on the Sabbath day. And when he had found him, he said unto him, "Dost thou believe on the Son of God?" That is what, that's the question Jesus asked him. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? All this time, all he knows, when anybody asked him, "How is it that you are seeing?" He said to them, "A man called Jesus." That is all he knew. He everybody, including his parents, that it is a man called Jesus who put mixed pickle with clay, anoint Isaiah and tell him to go wash in the pool of Siloam. He went wash and now he's able to see a man called Jesus. But here's what Jesus is saying to him as Jesus told him. Dost thou believe on the Son of God? Verse 35, verse 36 now. And he answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Now we see that not only that he received his physical sight, but he is now receiving his spiritual sight. He has now embraced the Lord as his Savior. I believe, the Lord declared to him that it is he who has helped him. It is he who has the ability also to save him. And the man declared that I believe you, Lord. And from what we see here, the man, that blind man, received both his physical sight and his spiritual sight. Verse 39. And Jesus said, for judgment I came into the world, that they which see, listen carefully to this, that they which see not might see, in talking about the blind man, and that they which see might be made blind, talking about the Pharisee who don't believe in Jesus. Now Jesus is introducing another type of blindness. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? Listen to the reply of Jesus. Last verse. Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But no, ye say we see, therefore your sin remaineth. They refuse to embrace Jesus. As a result of that, they find themselves in a state of spiritual blindness. So Jesus told them that, look, I am here in order to restore the sight to the blind. And if they were ignorant of the law, if they were ignorant of the teaching of God, they would have been in a better position, because they would be considered, they who sat in darkness have seen a great light. But they feel that they are in the light, and therefore they don't need another light. They don't need to see anything else, because they are seeing very well. Jesus said, you are in your sin as a result of that. So Jesus now introduced to us that not only that they are physical blindness, but they are spiritual blindness. When we go to the scriptures, in Isaiah, we discover Isaiah saying something. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. The people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blindness is darkness. Another word for it is ignorance. Those who are in darkness and does not embrace the teaching of the Lord Jesus, they are blind. They are blind and they cannot come to the truth. Listen to what the Lord said here in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 6. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thy hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light to the Gentiles. To open, and this is referring to Jesus, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoner from the prison, and to them that sat in darkness out of the prison house. Darkness, spiritually, means the individual is not in fellowship with God. Darkness, spiritually, means the person is blind. Darkness spiritually need a light. And that's why Jesus be clear, I am the light of the world. Read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look, listen to what it says here. Second Corinthians chapter 4, 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the mind of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The devil, the enemy, has blinded the eyes and the mind. The eyes, the mind is considered the spiritual eye. The devil has blinded the minds of people all over the world so that they cannot embrace Jesus. That's why it declares that the world is in darkness. And I'm going to read to you two passages of scripture here. And they are long too. So please bear with me. The first one I'd like to read is, we go over to Philippians. Because one of those persons who we're talking about here, that experienced blindness and were in darkness, we would like to hear his testimony. Philippians chapter 3, I read from verse 1 to 10. Listen to what it says. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same thing to you, to me, indeed, it is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of concession. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think that he had whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Listen now to how the Apostle Paul is going to explain his position when he was in darkness. Verse 5. Circumcised the eighth day of his life. When he was born, 8 days after he was circumcised. The stock of Israel. Mean he was an Israelite. Of the tribe of Benjamin. An Hebrew of the Hebrew means he is a pure-blooded Jew. Nothing mixed in terms of his status. He is a pure Jew following the law. Listen to other things that he said here. A Hebrew of Hebrews. Touching the law, a Pharisee, means that you could not blame him in any shape or form for doing anything contrary to the law. But what we just found out, he was blind. He was blind. A Pharisee, he was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. My God, what a qualification. What? Who? What? Who can you listen to this and to say that this man, Paul, he did not measure up to everything that the law requires. I read verse 6. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. He's going to change now. But what things were gain to me? Those I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, garbage, that I might win Christ. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! The Pharisee confront Jesus after he healed that blind man. And said, and the whole discussion came down to the fact that you cannot be of God because you did not keep the law, you did not keep the Sabbath, you did not do all of that. And Jesus had to confront him at the end of John chapter 9 and verse 41. And here is another Pharisee who found himself in that said position as those that Jesus confronted there. And he's now giving his testimony in regards to how the change came. Because he was in darkness. Many of them that you see, so they are embracing. They, brothers, I am saying to all the saints tonight here in this service, follow what Jesus says. Follow what Jesus says. Verse 7. But what, we're talking about Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. What a testimony! What a testimony! A man who was in darkness, a man who was blind to the calling of God, has come into the light and has seen the Lord Jesus through the eyes of faith and embraced him and was changed. Listen to what he said here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, 12 and 13. Listen to what the same Paul has to say here. 1 Timothy chapter 1, 12 and 13. And I thank Jesus, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Who was, listen to this area, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and an injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. All this time, the Apostle Paul, Saul, thought that everything was good and he was seen through the right lenses. Jesus came and Jesus said, I am the light of the world. You are not seeing God unless you see God through me. Hallelujah. I have come to open the eyes of the blind, be it physically or spiritually. The Lord has anointed me to do it. Time has gone, and I just want to give you one more chance before I wrap up with the other era of ministry. Clearly, I will not be able to go any further with this one, this section. Is there a thought somebody would like to share? Oh, bless God. Thanks. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for opening our eyes to see something. It is not intellectual. It is not seeing. It is none of the above. But it is faith through Jesus. Hallelujah. It is faith through Jesus. Bless God. I will just touch on the other one. And then we will turn over to Sister Barbara. Not only that, but the word tells us Here. That he has anointed me to set at liberty them that are bruised. Them that are bruised. Some of us. And I'm telling you this, that there are things about us that we thought nobody knew. But God knows. God knows.
Yes, he does.
And I'm emphasizing this because it is important for us that God sent Jesus to the poor, to the brokenhearted, to the captive, to the blind, to the bruised. To the bruised!
Mm.
There are things about us that only we know.
Mm.
But God also knows.
Mm.
Some of us are living with invisible wounds.
Yes.
Invisible wounds. Invisible scars, invisible bruises. Sometime in our life, maybe in our family, something traumatic happened and we can't shake it off. It lives with us for the rest of our life. Sometime it is to you that it happened. Sometime it is to me that it happened and we can't shake it off. We live through the experience day and night, weeks and months, years. It continues to confront us. I heard somebody said that verbal abuse has left a lifelong impression upon the heart and mind of others that cannot be shaken off. It is somebody who have experienced that and are bruised inside. The invisible scar that continue to walk with the individual.
Mm-hmm.
Something was said that belittles the individual and the person cannot shake it off. It stays with the individual for life.
Mm-hmm.
Yet the person is a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
There is this thing about everybody seems to want to involved in abortion. Because it seems to be the popular thing, and I don't know when since it is so. But there are individuals that will tell you that they have this scar, this bruise, invisible scar, carrying for life.
Yeah.
And they can't shake it off.
Yeah. And Pastor, you can get
bruised. Some torture, the bruise that we carry along. Jesus has come that he might help us here. Hallelujah. He has come to deliver them that are bruised. Go ahead,
You can get bruised at home, you can get bruised at work, you can get bruised in church. And that is why I believe Jesus is, you know, observing so much. Because you can get bruised, just simply bruised, and you can get deep bruised. Things that only Jesus can help you to heal the bruise. And he can.
Yes.
You notice, Pastor, it's not a cut. It's not a cut that's cut and wide open. It's a bruise that rub off the skin, the top of the skin.
Yes, yes.
But then, it can be spread so widely. That bruise can go so far. It can be a very long bruise.
Exactly. And then we try to cover it. We try to put a band-aid on it. We put the band-aid of vacation on it. If I go to Paris, if I go to London, if I go to Singapore, if I go to Australia on a vacation, it might just heal it. And when we get back, the bruise is still there. Yeah. We cover it with a new car. If I purchase a new car, it will go away. When the car gets still, the bruise is still there.
Yeah.
We cover it with a smile. At all times we see our brother, our sister, but deep down, the bruise is still there. Jesus is telling us that we know, he knows that we have a bruise, and he has come. He has come.
He didn't say if you get cut. He didn't say if you have a broken bone, which those things seem to be deeper than a bruise. But Jesus looked down and see what a bruise can do. You know, and that bruise can be worse than a cut.
It lives with you, Sister Fiani, and it is invisible. Nobody can see it, but only you know it's there. David, I close with this. After David had sinned, he slept with Uriah's wife, and he put Uriah at the front of the battle, and Uriah died. He has committed a murder, and he has committed adultery. And then the servant of God came to him. But as you read 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13, the servant of God came to him and said, "The Lord forgive you." Right there, the Lord forgive you of this which you have done. The child is going to die, but the Lord forgive you, David. But David could not shake it off. The bruise. Tears on his conscience. The bruise continued for many years until he did that prayer in Psalms 51. He said, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." He had not lost his salvation, but he lost the joy.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
The bruise, Jesus has come. Some of that brew.
Amen.